Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look amazing. What have you been doing?
You've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, if you qualify, Zelda providers can prescribe semaglutide, the same active ingredient, at up to 90% less without insurance. Done all online.
No wait at the doctor's office or pharmacy?
No wait. Zelda can ship the same active ingredients as other expensive GLP-1s to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less. That's #250 keyword care.
Support American-made tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. They aren't affected by tariffs because their clothing products never left the U.S. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
What I'm afraid of is that they're going to go after the surviving roommates. And I think that would be horrific for them. But it seems to be, you know, if you look at the world of pro-burger folks out there, and there's not a lot, but there's a handful. Their reasoning oftentimes seems to land on them. And just because it was odd, they didn't call 911. But if you actually look at the context of everything, of how this all played out, you get it. Like, these are young girls that, you know, inexperienced in life, inexperienced in this sort of trauma. It's not crazy that things played out the way that they did.
So you think she might be trying to go after the surviving roommate and maybe someone in her life that actually took the lives of the girls?
I think that seems to be the only thing in my mind that they could possibly credibly, because I think there's nothing to that. These are victims here, but they've already gone through so much. Yeah, I can't imagine that.
I think that'd be rough for them to do that. That's a really risky move. The closest I think she might come to it is kind of like what Howard Bloom is talking about in his book about some drug-related deals or something like that involved, which, again, she might try to link it to a roommate or roommates, past tense, you know. So it could have been some jilted, you know, drug deal boyfriend or something else. So there might be a possibility of that, and you might be able to find DNA from someone like that in the place.
Hope they don't.
You know, you can't go after dead people. There's a lot of sympathy there.
Yeah. I think if you want a guarantee, again, I think there's already plenty of guarantees that he's going to be killed. Just the thumbs up picture alone, I think, sealed the deal. But if you go, I mean, I don't know another road they can go down. I mean, if you're trying to save this guy's life, or you're trying to introduce some sort of reasonable doubt, that seems to be the only road that some people seem to get tripped up on.
Yeah, and I agree. You know, reading Howard's book and everything else, you know, that we've looked at, I think the only chance she has of reasonable doubt from what we've seen so far that's been released is that kind of idea of, because again, that pool party was the only time we saw any sort of potential linkage with anyone. Mm-hmm. And that pool party, drugs, it's a stretch. But again, if she's going for an ounce of reasonable doubt in one human being on that jury, that might be the only play.
Or the drug thing. I mean, there is an argument there. You know, something connected with maybe a parent of one of them, or their own behavior, their own.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, their own. I don't know if they were drug users. I have no idea. But if they were, if they did get some from some source, they're not there to testify. So you could basically blame the dead people and say, this was a big whole thing gone wrong. Koberger has nothing to do with it. This was a bad drug deal. They're all dead. They can't testify to it. We don't know who the dealer is that did this, but this is what happened. And I don't know. It's a stretch. But I mean, look at the Karen Reed case where they went on the stretch of these people beat him up in a house with evidence.
It's an interesting comparison. So this is why I think this is a hard one for defense to try to do using a drug angle here, because what you have is if there was drugs involved with the deceased girls and the boyfriend, the challenge there is there's an expectation of stupid college antics because the kids are in college. Mm-hmm. But these kids did not have, you know, it's not part of what we've seen, part of their behavior arc of really bad. In other words, you're not dealing with drug addicts. You're not dealing with drug dealers from anything having to do with their backgrounds, their history, their arcs, their families. You know, a little bit maybe, but you're not having anything pronounced, as opposed to the Karen Reed case, where you have a long history of overindulgence of alcohol. Mm-hmm. That is very well documented. That's very well substantiated by numerous people, even by Karen herself. And so I think the difference here is the fact that this could easily be explained as a college one-off, one night after a football game. But it's not like been a prevalent arc in the victims' lives. And so I think that's a hard thing to press. It's a hard thing to press. And again, because you're not going to garner, I think, a lot of sympathy on the defense side by trying to do that. Because again, you're trying to taint an image of children.
Yeah.
That otherwise would have been healthy, beautiful kids growing up and moving on to the next phase of their lives, as opposed to adults in the Karen Reed case that have made life choices at that point to overindulge in alcohol systematically over a period of time. So I think it's a hard press.
Well, they got to taint something like a nasty Easter ham that has been sitting in the fridge for 4 weeks. Otherwise, they got nothing. And that's what they're going to try and do, it seems. I just, and the idea of it being a drug deal gone bad. Look, that sounds lovely if you're watching Breaking Bad or you've watched a lot of, you know, documentaries about MS-13 or something, where it's like, yes, that sort of shit can go bad, but it typically doesn't happen in a small Idaho town with four college kids who might have been getting weed or ecstasy or whatever the hell they were getting. I have no idea what they were getting, if anything at all. Those don't tend to go to that level of bad. There's none of these kids were sitting there like on a witness list to testify against some corrupt drug dealer somewhere where they have to get rid of these kids so they don't do that. I mean, that's not part of the story at all. And that's not really typically how any of this stuff works. Again, it's not like, you know, MS-13 is their drug dealer or something like that, where you would have this propensity for violence to this sort of extreme. Nor does it make sense to kill four different people that, you know, they're not all doing the same things. They all had their own individual lives. Yes, some shared this home. One was just visiting. I mean, it doesn't add up at the end of the day.
So. No, matter of fact, so as you're talking about that on this line of thought with the drug angle that the defense might be going for. So here's, we've talked about, again, Coburg is innocent until proven guilty, but if it is him, we've been able to point out very few flaws in his execution because he executed this, if it was him, pretty flawlessly. But here's another one where I think he never planned for getting caught. And here's how also he staked out. I still think he staked the house as a venue that he could conduct this. I don't think he chose the victims potentially because of who they were. I think it was a safe target for him to attack because of all these other factors. But the girls and sadly the boyfriend who happened to be there on a wrong night, they are beautiful people, meaning that they actually, their social profiles, their arcs, their friends, their relationships, their families, everything says that this alibi or this reason of someone coming in a bad drug deal doesn't fit them.
No, they're not junkies.
So in other words, think about this. If the house was the house it was and the inhabitants of the house happened to be dirtbag junkies, well, then we have a lot more to work with if I'm defense.
Yeah.
But not these girls. Yeah. Not the boy.
No.
I think he chose the house and not necessarily, again, I know there's a slight connection maybe that we may find out about, but I think he chose the venue above the people, because if he's choosing the people, wrong people to choose. Again, if he really thought about it, this is a group that you have close families, say healthy says that there's going to be a lot of things that you're not going to be able to have an alibi on or any other reasonable I mean, there's no other conclusion you can come to.
No.
That's why I think Ann Taylor is having a hard time on defense, because how do you pin anything else on these girls?
You don't. Because you can't. You look like a monster if you do, and
yes.
That's not going to play well yes. to a jury. When it does eventually come time for sentencing, let's assume he's found guilty. How much weight, in your opinion, should be put on what's going on in this guy's mind and how broken of a brain that he has? Because that's what they're trying to argue with the autism. That's what they're trying to argue with this and that. Clearly, this is a guy who had a lot of problems and had even written about it. The visual snow, the lack of empathy, the realizing he didn't have any empathy. But just because you have a lack of empathy and because your brain's not working quite right doesn't necessarily give you a free pass to not get killed in prison by the state or the federal government just because your brain is like that if you carried out these sort of crimes. You know, but that's something the government does, you know, put into account when it comes to a capital case. How much should that be considered here in the idea of sparing Koberger's life versus, look, you did this. Yeah, your brain's fucked, but we don't care. The world is better off without you.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's a tough question always. But here's what I do know. What matters is what the families want.
Yeah.
That plays a big part of it. And also just the knowledge of he can't be fixed.
Yeah.
You know, this type of broken brain does not get fixed. Because, you know, here's the only credit I'll give Koberger. Again, innocent until proven guilty, mm-hmm. was he tried hard for a lot of years to try to do something to fix the brain. He's very aware of it, and he couldn't fix it.
Yeah.
His dad and family, who seemed to love him dearly, tried.
Mm-hmm.
And when all these efforts for so long can't fix it, I don't think it's, you know, and I don't think it's a fixable brain. So unfixable brain, family desires, law. I think that's what's ultimately going to come down to the sentencing, you know, because again, that sentence, you know, that's a really personal choice for a lot of people.
It is,
You know, life for a life kind of thing. But at the same time, though, I think you'll save the state a lot of money by keeping them from being fed for a long time and housed.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if your rationale for it is, can he be rehabilitated? No. Can he ever be a contributor to society? No.
It's more like, do you have grace on the dog that has... It can only be an attack dog, and there's nothing else it can do because it knows.
And it's interesting. So again, these are questions just to think about that I don't think there's really answers for. And that is, are you doing him a service or a disservice by helping him end his life?
Yeah.
What will he experience? I mean, what's more cruel and unusual, leaving him alive or killing him?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, those are just things to really think about and ponder. You know, it's quick and easy to think, well, a life for a life, and this is mm-hmm. heinous what he did, absolutely. And so they should take his life. True.
Mm-hmm.
But what's greater suffering for him? I don't know.
And I know a lot of people look at that, well, it's much more suffering for that person to be behind bars and deal with the consequences for their actions. Not if they don't think they did anything wrong.
Yeah, here's one factor that says to me, death sentence, and that is people will want to come talk to him.
Yeah.
And thereby he will be the person he always wanted to be.
Mm-hmm. This would prevent that.
Yes. So if he is granted clemency and guilty and he's not given a death sentence, he should be in isolation, never have contact with another human being again.
I agree with that. I think the thumbs up picture is what sealed it for me. If in fact he did this and in the next morning he's sitting there, there's no need for you around anymore.
There's no need for you around.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly right. Especially when being around will give you...
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed, only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.